Hello and welcome to the very first episode ever in history of the Quarter Mile Podcast. It has been a month. We've been promoting it. We've gotten a few followers. I am Drew Davis, one of your hosts, joined with my other, the co-host and one of my favorite people on earth, Bailey Jackson. How are you doing, Bailey?
I'm swell. How are you, Drew?
I am doing so good. We're gonna do our best, Bailey. Okay, first of all, there's like a whole saga to getting this podcast to where it is, so we're gonna let you guys in on it. First of all, we're currently in Tennessee's snowpocalypse. If you're from Tennessee, you know we don't get much snow, and then when we do get snow, we have no idea what to do with it. So me and Bailey were actually supposed to, you know, I'm in Nashville, she's in Jackson. We were supposed to actually get together to film this podcast, but the roads were like, don't do that. So we didn't. So we're doing our first episode virtually, which a lot of feedback I got when researching podcasts was, don't do virtual podcasts, do it in person because they're better. And so we're starting where we do hope, we're hoping episode two is going to be in person, but this one is virtual. So bear with us on that. Secondly, Bailey is getting over being sick. So she has less of a voice, which is perfect when we're doing a podcast. So you could not have timed that better, Bailey. So
yeah, I know, because I have complete control over my entire metabolism, obviously.
Of course, we all do. That's just what it's like to be human. Anyway, she's doing better. She's feeling better. We're glad she's here. We're glad she's doing better. This is the deal with this podcast. We are called the Quarter Mile Podcast. We're a rewatch podcast. The first one that we're, our first series that we're doing is The Fast and Furious. And I think a good just kind of way to get going is for us to each introduce ourselves and, for lack of better words, say talk about our relationship with The Fast and Furious. So I'm going to go first, and then Bailey, you can go after that. That way you can see how it's done and then do it like way better. So I'm Drew Davis. I'm a former youth pastor turned comedian, and I may be the biggest Fast and Furious fan on earth. I know it's hard to tell, and I know a lot of you are going to dispute me on that, and you might be right, but Fast and Furious has been a big part of my life since middle school. Me and my friends used to always go see the movies. We marathon all the movies before the newest one comes out, and even though my friends are all over the place now as adults, I still do that. Right before Fast 10 came out, I watched all 9 movies to get ready for it. It's beautiful. It really gets you. I mean, they're crazy, ridiculous movies. Like, obviously, The Rock punch can't redirect a torpedo, but when you watch all 10 movies together, you get in that universe and you think, well, obviously Hobbs punch can redirect a torpedo, and it's just a beautiful way of watching the series. It's been a big part. One of my favorite things about Fast and Furious is, I know there's tons of memes about it, but their focus on family, and by that they mean the family that you make. A lot of the characters aren't actually physically related to each other, and they have this amazing bond. And growing up, I didn't have like a super close family, so like I relate to that because my friends in life are my family in many ways. So I love this movie series. I mean, it came out when I was in middle school. There wasn't much of my life before Fast and Furious, and I don't know if I want to live in a world where there isn't a Fast and Furious coming out eventually. I've never really had to experience it. I don't think it'll be as good. But anyway, so I'm very excited about our rewatch podcast. I'm very excited about this movie. And that's how I'm connected with Fast and Furious. Bailey, what about you?
Oh, well, I'm Bailey Jackson. I'm a musician. So the difference here is I have short spurts of where I speak / sing / say things. And then Drew has the longer time. So that's about the difference. And then I have a little backing track or something that accompanies me whenever I perform. And that's about the only difference between me and Drew, minus the hair. Everything else is exactly the same. So if you want to know anything about me, you just immediately think of Drew Davis, and then don't.
Oh my gosh. You poor soul, if that's the case. But yeah, basically, this is like a podcast with two co-hosts that are essentially the same person. So it'll be really fun. Or maybe as we co-host together, where we'll start learning our differences and be like, and then maybe by the end of 10 episodes, we just decide we hate each other at the end of it. Maybe.
Exactly. But I got my bachelor's in music and entertainment business. So my profession is in the music and entertainment business. And I am Drew's assistant as well, technically. And I'm also a compadre. I'm a friend. we're just here on this podcast. So that's pretty much most everything. Drew, you have experienced a world without Fast and Furious. Here's the thing, though. I have not, because it came out in 2001. And I might be exposing myself right now, but I have had an entire life of Fast and Furious because I was born then.
And you know what? I think
that's been my life.
I think you're just so much of a better person than me. And the only reason I can credit that is you've never had to live life without Fast and Furious. It hasn't not existed at the same time as you, whereas I had a good solid 12 years of growing up in a world without Fast and Furious. And maybe that's why you're just a slightly better person than me. But that's cool. Yeah. Now, have you seen like all the movies? Are you like how would you express your fandom? Because I know when I asked you to do this podcast, part of me was like, I don't even know if she's a Fast and Furious fan. She might not even like watch the movies. But
yeah, so I do really like the series. I will say that because I did grow up on it. I grew up watching it. But since I grew up watching it, sometimes nostalgia can get a little muddy once you start taking out and putting in new things. So I kind of lost a little bit of interest the further on the series got. But that's only because of, like, just, you know, the important guy leaving the Earth. So I didn't really like that happened, clearly, but nobody had control over that. So
absolutely, yeah.
I just kind of was like, well, I guess that ends it for me, yeah. But I do like the series. I like the concept and I like the storyline. I mean, it's a great storyline, so I can't say it's a bad movie series. I like the movie series. I like the majority of the movie series. I just haven't seen every single movie. I probably am only like two or three movies behind, though. I will say that.
That's okay. Well, it'll be cool when we get there for you to watch them and for us to get your reactions and see what it's like and see how you feel about it. So Quarter Mile Podcast, here's the deal, gang.
Yeah.
This is our first podcast ever. We don't 100% know what we're doing. So we welcome all the involvement of any one of you. We love comments. First of all, if you're not checking us on the social medias, find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, basically any of the things that you're not on right now as you're Instagram. Listening to this, please help us out. And it's really easy. It's the Quarter Mile Podcast on literally everything. So find your favorite social media, check out the Quarter Mile Podcast. While you're at it, if you want to add me and Bailey's own personal artist stuff to it, the more followers, the better. We're just two artists trying to get out there, trying to expand our audiences and our following. The podcast is a fun way to do it, but make no mistake, we are in professions where people, when we apply to work, they look at how many followers we have, and that helps them decide whether they want to book us or not, which is sick and dumb. But it is reality. So please follow us, check us out. But also with the Quarter Mile Podcast social medias, we're going to be posting reels. We're going to be posting polls. We're going to be posting. We want to interact with you guys. We don't want it. I mean, it. Me and Bailey are pretty awesome. I could talk with her all day. But we want to hear from you guys. We want to interact with you guys as well. So there's a few things you can do already. We have one poll going right now, which is rating the Fast and Furious movies, and all 10 of them, kind of your favorite to least favorite. And we're tracking everyone's votes who puts them in on any of the social media. So please get us that information. Bailey, I think it's one of your friends who reached out to us, and his exact quote was like, Tokyo Drift all day, every day. He voted, all he didn't even vote for the other ones. He just voted for Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, I told you. I was like, I know somebody that says Tokyo Drift's the best movie. So I'm just saying.
I will say this, and we'll get more into it when we talk on episode 3 about Tokyo Drift. It's grown on me. The last time I watched it, I didn't hate it. But I am so surprised that there is a following of people that put that one and number 4 as the best ones. Because to me, I would put those at the bottom too. And I feel like a lot of different podcasts and other things I've listened to where people talk about Fast and Furious, they all say like, oh yeah, 4 and 3 are the worst. 4 is like typically at the bottom of the list. But currently in our podcast list poll that we're doing, 4 is currently winning, which is beyond me. I'm going to need more of you all to vote so that we can have a better poll that's not wrong.
So. I'm just saying Tokyo Drift has a great soundtrack and you can't say that otherwise.
I will agree with that. I feel like the song that we all think of from Tokyo Drift is absolutely, like, whenever I'm posting stuff, that's usually the go-to, which one I'll use. The Quarter Mile Podcast. Make sure you add the V on all of the social media things. We would love for you to follow us and help increase our following and interact with stuff. And sometimes we'll even read your comments here on the podcast. And I actually have a few from the people that have reached out to us already. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do my best to... So Maya Alicia Singh, or maybe Alicia Singh. I met one person named Alicia in my life. And now every time I see Alicia, I say Alicia. So there's that.
It reminds me of the Key and Peele skit.
Yeah. Aaron. This is what Maya Alicia says. She says, the scene where Letty punches an old Asian boy at Race Wars. In real life, she actually broke his nose, which I think is pretty funny that Michelle Rodriguez, the actor, punched someone and actually broke their nose. I will say, it's a really cool scene. So for the art, totally worth it for us.
And it definitely looked real, so that makes a lot of sense.
Maybe she said it was an accident, but maybe she was like, I really want this to be a real thing, so I'm gonna punch him. And then just didn't tell anybody, right? So
yeah,
but
he probably had some beef or something. It's like,
or maybe he's gonna, maybe the actor was a jerk and she was like, I'm gonna punch this guy,
yeah, I'm gonna put him in his place.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, so we already talked about the guy who ranked Tokyo Drift as number one. But what we didn't talk about was then I got a comment later from a different friend who was like, can you believe who would possibly put Tokyo Drift as number one? So GP Flack, whoever you are, you outraged a complete random stranger. But I just want you to know that I appreciate your support and I hope you keep commenting your opinions on things. Well, I feel like this is the part of the podcast where we actually talk about Fast and Furious, the movie. So
yeah.
So we're doing this episode, we're doing the Fast and the Furious, not to be considered with Fast and Furious, which is the fourth movie. And I think I was 2 years old when I finally got that right. So.
Oh. Yeah, we all say Fast and Furious, but everybody likes shortcuts. So we all know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. But it doesn't help that I do feel like they make their movies sound so complicated. I mean, like F9 instead of Fast 9, The Fate and the Furious, you know, Tokyo Drift doesn't even have Fast and Furious in it. It's like in subtitle, you know, like, so they know what they're
doing. But it was a different place.
Yeah.
It was a different concept almost. The same storyline, different concept.
I would say that, and this is just my opinion, but I don't think they were making intentional sequels and connected plots until Fast 4. I think they kind of brought it all together, especially in the fifth one. But like, I think at first, the first three movies were kind of standalone. I mean, like the second one's remotely related to the first, but
the first one leaves you on a cliffhanger, Drew. What are you talking about?
But then the second one, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the second one, but like it follows Brian O'Connor's character, and like that's about it.
It's a good feeling movie. The second one's a good feelsy movie, I will say.
I love the second one. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
we'll save our thoughts on the second one till the next.
We'll get there
next episode. But we're here to talk about the first movie, The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Came out in 2001. Yeah. Bailey, when were you born?
I was born in April of 2001, and it came out in June of 2001. So do the math, Drew.
Okay, so like that's just like a month or two, right? Like you were born a couple of months before. So that's fun. So I was in eighth grade, and you were being born. So. Your parents were not letting you out into the common public yet because you were a baby that needed to be not out and about.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I was coincidentally also trying not to be out in the common public because in eighth grade, I thought everyone was terrifying and I didn't want to talk to anyone. So we were basically doing the same thing. We were both crying, crying close to our mother.
We were both crying, and sleeping a lot.
Here we go. Fast and Furious plot summary. In the opening scene, a helmeted racer leads a gang of stunt drivers driving three black Honda Civics who hijack a shipment of DVDs and VCR players from a moving truck. First of all, I also drive a Honda Civic, and I don't think I could do any of those things, especially drive under a truck. I'm pretty sure those tires are way bigger than they should be to make the truck. I was driving this week, and I was looking at the trucks, and I was like, could I fit my car under there? And my ultimate conclusion was, no, definitely not.
No.
So PSA, if you're driving a Honda Civic, don't do that. Secondly, that's the kind of weird part about this movie is it's kind of hard to tell who the bad guys are. So like in that opening scene,
it's so confusing.
That was like the Toretto gang robbing them.
Yeah.
But
they're gruesome.
Yeah.
Like they do not care. They're like, you know what? I'm going to bust in your window. I might bust your head. I don't care. Actually, we're just going to get this thing done.
I think the person that needs the honorable mention, though, is the truck driver, because if that was me, I would have said, look, I'll pull over and you can keep all of the I would not put up any. I mean, one time when I was a 16-year-old, I was a bagger at Publix supermarket, and this person came in and stole the big old jar of money that was holding for, like, we were raising money for March of Dimes. This guy stole it and ran out the door. And, like, when he ran past me, I just moved out of the way. I was like, yeah, this is minimum wage. I'm not going to get into a fight over a jar of coins. This guy, he needs it more than I do. So I can't imagine the truck driver that, I don't know if it was the opening scene or the later scene where he had a baseball bat and he was like fighting them. And,
just pull over. Keeps building.
And also, how weird is it that the big crime in this whole movie is they are stealing so much money's worth of DVD players and VCRs.
Yeah. Like, you could tell it's 2001.
Right, absolutely. What are they doing? Are they reselling the DVDs and VCR players? Because I don't feel like it's the kind of money that's warranting a life of crime.
That's possible. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it doesn't really explain what they're doing exactly. They just say they get money somehow, and then it shows them doing bad things. And also, truck drivers have to be on the road constantly, just in general, so there's no telling how long that guy was on the road defending himself against these crazy people.
Right. He probably was really sleep deprived. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom and he was trying to find a place. It was nighttime. Oh, no. So he's probably just, man, I feel bad we need a movie about that truck driver. We need a movie about Dom's tuna shop and the truck driver.
Yes, truck driver POV.
Brian O'Connor is an undercover police officer driving supercharged cars and trying to infiltrate Dominic Toretto's gang, who are suspected in all the robberies. He first visits Dominic's cafe, where he's making conversations with Dominic's younger sister, Mia, and routinely orders a tuna sandwich on white bread without crust, which is the grossest sandwich of all time. What do you think? Your thoughts on tuna sandwiches, Bailey?
I do not like them. I like the chicken salad ones. Those ones are good. But the tuna ones, those are smelly and icky.
It's routinely disgusting. Whenever I'm visiting my mother, that's her go-to at a Subway, is a tuna sandwich with white American cheese with lettuce, tomato, and mayo. And I feel like every time I order that, the cashier or the sandwich-making people look like grossed out by that order. And I don't know. I've never understood tuna, and I don't understand why the writers in this movie thought, you know what we're going to do? Have him order a tuna sandwich with the crust. Like, because the whole thing is like, we'll get into this in a different paragraph, but like Fast and Furious, part of the thing is they wanted these characters to look super cool to high schoolers. It kind of had like a super cool, super sexy, super like hyper realism of this is what the cool underground crime world of drag racing looks like, you know? and then you have the main character out there like, let me get a tuna sandwich, please. And I don't get it.
it was making a statement. to like, what you know, portray that he's there. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I guess this is like a guy thing, maybe. I'm not quite sure. I'm just kidding. So he went to go get a tuna sandwich because no one likes tuna sandwiches, and he's clearly going because he's trying to get the girl's attention.
Oh, so he's wanting to make it so obvious. Because, yes. Like, if he got, like, a pastrami sandwich, that's the maybe most, it's like, maybe yeah. he's interested in me, but, like...
They recommend to not get the sandwich, so he's making a statement by getting the sandwich that he wants to be there, not to eat the sandwich, but to be with the girl.
You know, I have seen this movie 10 or more times, and I never picked up on that, which is probably why I'm a single dude that is terrible at flirting. But now this is my go-to thing. I'm gonna do that the next time I'm flirting with a woman who works at some kind of food establishment. I'm going to literally pick the grossest thing and try to, I'll let you know how it works. That might be how I meet my wife. I don't know, but
ask her what her favorite meal is and then order that is what you should do.
Okay. That's, and hopefully it's not a tuna sandwich with the crust cut off. Yeah. So.
She would probably do that. Honestly, if it was the perfect person, she should do that.
You think so? If I'm flirting yes, with someone 100%. And they ask for a tuna sandwich, I'm done flirting with them.
Well, then she'd be making a reference to your favorite movie series, Drew.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm just saying, you got to get on this train.
This train of knowing,
okay, back
knowing
to
how
the,
women
back
think.
To the original conversation.
Yeah. Which, interestingly enough, one more thing before we move on. We'll be about four episodes in before we finish this, the plot summary. Fast and Furious was based off, or kind of basically the plot was stolen from a different movie, Point Break. Did you ever see Point Break?
I don't remember.
It's like the same plot, but with less street racing, and there's a skydiving scene, and it's about a police officer infiltrating a crime group, and they actually they used the same sandwich spot location in their movies. So it's a place called Neptune's, I think, in like LA or wherever this place was filmed. And this, like, if there was any doubt up until this point that they were kind of ripping off Point Break, they made it very clear in this scene by saying, like, we're gonna use the same place. Which is kind of weird. I don't know. I love the Fast and Furious saga, but like, I don't know how I feel about movies just like, we're gonna do the same plot with a little bit different. Like, what do you think? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. Because, like, in music and stuff, people borrow melodies and, like, harmonies and stuff. My cat's yelling at me through the door. That's why I closed the door, by the way. She can be loud. Sorry. Anyways, back to it. Borrowing a concept of, like, a movie, maybe not exactly the same plot line, but, like, just a little smidgy part of it is not quite bad. Maybe they just liked the whole, like, scene or something, and they were like, oh, see there, that's cool, that's funny, that's quirky, I'm gonna borrow that. Or yeah. Maybe he was friends with the director. I don't know. Life is weird. People are people.
Life is weird. Why get bogged down in these little things?
Maybe it's just a coincidence as well, like, who knows, honestly.
Yeah,
unless it's not. Unless,
well,
it's
for,
like,
sure not a coincidence.
They
for sure have talked about it.
They are right. So they, yeah. Yeah.
But
they ripped it off on purpose.
Yeah, maybe it's like, I don't know. We'll look more into that. But or maybe we. Yeah. Won't. I don't know. Who cares, really? Yeah. Like, that movie was
this
like
isn't about
80,
Point Break.
90s. This movie's already 23, 24 years old. So. It's fine. I'm sure the Point Break people are either all dead or don't care. So, actually, point of fact, Keanu Reeves was the Paul Walker character in Point Break. So, anyway.
Yeah, that breaks that point.
So, they're ordering a sandwich. Then comes in the rest of the Fast and Furious gang. Vince and Letty. And then the other guy, Leon, who I'm pretty sure is useless for the whole movie. But Vince gets jealous. He sees a fight breaking out. And then he drops a very politically incorrect F-bomb that nobody noticed back in the, you know, 2001. But now it's so cringy when you hear it. Letty begs Dom... To break it up, and he does so and threatens to get Brian fired. He's like, what place you work at? Well, you don't anymore, kind of thing. So what do you think about Vince's character, Bailey?
I think he's just a little jealous dude, honestly. He feels like somebody, you know, came in and, you know, peed on his tree. And
Yeah.
so now he's upset and he's like, no, that's not okay. And then he's being mean to him. But it's just because he's jealous, and that's literally it. He just has an ego
problem. I can't. The more I watch this movie, the more I feel for that character, right? Like, now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's a jerk. He's a douchebag. He says mean things.
But he had a crush on her.
He had a crush on
her. It's a bro code, man.
And I feel like everyone in the movie just kind of was extra. Maybe if people treated him nicer, he wouldn't be such a jerk. And yeah. If you look at the overall plot, the only one who was correct in his assumption about Brian and the situation was Vince. Like, he kept saying, like, he's a cop. And everyone was like, oh, you're just being close. But he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong.
He was actually correct.
So that night, racers gathered for street racing. What a dumb statement. As they do. Racers gather for street racing, as is the street racing way. Brian meets Hector, and which Hector had such a stupid line. Maybe the dumbest line in the entire movie, when he was like, I got a last name, but I can't even pronounce it. Which is like...
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I was like, oh no.
I was like, is he trying to say, like, because I'm Latino, you wouldn't know how to pronounce my name? Or, like, was he just an idiot? Like, I don't... Or was that, like, their attempt at, like, tough guy dialogue? Like, oh, man, he's so cool, he doesn't even...
Maybe he was just making a funny ha-ha.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, ha-ha.
It was probably a joke. Anyway, but they wait for Dom. Brian offers his car as a bet, and Dom's tech, Jesse, checks his car out. The spectators line up the street, lighting the way. Brian and Dom race with Johnny Tran and Edwin, who's played by Ja Rule. Dom wins, showing Brian's superior driving and timing. A few things about this scene. First of all, I think Danny Tran is like such a basic and kind of useless villain. When you compare all the Fast and Furious villains, this guy's got to be at the bottom of the list, if not the. And that's actually going to be one of the polls we'll post later, is like people comparing the villains. But like, you know, I would put him down as my second to least favorite, the least favorite being the guy from Tokyo Drift. We'll get there. But like, what a useless villain in this movie. I'm not even too sure what, aside from being jerks, like, I don't even know what they were doing. Bailey, help me out. What are your thoughts on Danny Tran as a villain?
I mean, they were just money people. Like, they were just chasing after money. That's all they cared about, clearly, was, like, the whole just look at me, I have pretty things. And he's, like, this pretty boy, you know, that's over here, like, bad boy, I don't know, black, all in black and all that stuff on motorcycles, you know. Oh, no, I'm gonna go and, I don't know, maybe mess up a semi or do things to people. But, like, it's kind of like through the movie where Brian explains to the cops and stuff, saying like, well, I gotta have hard evidence. And I'm over here like, yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, like, evidence is a pretty
they're
big
not
thing.
Really. Yes, they're doing bad things, I will say, granted. But I mean, up to the very bad thing where they did kill somebody, they really didn't do much, minus put some, like, what is it, like, oil or something in that guy's
face. They did torture a guy. That might have been a good thing to arrest him for.
I can understand that one. But even whenever he was talking to the cops, they were like, it's nothing much, you know, whatever. So I mean, the cops weren't even that much impressed with the villain. So
yeah. Which it's interesting, in this movie there are no real good guys, and
no.
And you find it hard to root. I mean, you root for Brian for being like a good guy. You root for Dom and his gang because like you like them, but like, they're the antagonists. Danny Tran and his gang are just jerks. He lives at home with his dad and disrespects him when he gets, he gets pulled over, he gets arrested, and then he gets also backhanded by his own dad in the same scene, which is kind of interesting.
And then the
police officers are just kind of, they're playing off like sketchy dudes. Like, you're not supposed to like the police officers, rarely in any of the Fast and Furious movies.
Right. They're kind of like the side character almost. So like, they're there for you to understand the plot, but they're not really that important. Mainly no. enough for you to know that Brian's a cop, and that's why.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like he's that's the only importance. I feel like he's a way better street racer and crime guy than he is a police officer.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they got him in there and stuff, because he can really maneuver the car.
Yeah, but like, he stinks at being a detective. He stinks at being like, and it was funny because, yeah, like,
he does.
This movie, they were like, you're up for a promotion. I'm like, how is this guy the person you're like cream of the crop? This guy
doing he's doing crime himself, kind of. Actually, he's yeah. at least guilty because he's with them.
Yeah, no, but he's undercover, so it makes it okay. Also, right. In the scene, and then lastly, Jesse is the most developed character, one of the most developed characters in this movie, who's just a side character, just a plot device. Yeah. We'll see that later. The racers pick up a police alert on the scanner and everyone flees. Dom parks his car and flees on foot, and Brian helps him escape. Dom has researched Brian because this was back when the internet was a hard thing to come by. But as they chat, they are surrounded by Uzi-wielding Chinese bikers who escort them to an empty lot. The leader of this gang, Johnny Tran, admires Brian's cars and references Race Wars. The worst name for anything ever. He and his goons shoot up Brian's car, which explodes from the NOS on board.
Isn't that an energy drink?
NOS? Yeah. It actually came out a couple years after one of the Fast and Furious's. And the success of NOS can't be unrelated to Fast and Furious.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
We'll talk about NOS more in Fast 2, the episode, because I need to go look up all the information about it. But if anyone who's listening to this wants to give us a background on what NOS is actually, we would love to talk about that in our next episode. So,
I'm kind of curious, actually.
So back at Dom's house, a party is in progress. Dom yells at his gang, saying Brian was the only one who helped him. This buster is the one who picked me up, or is it something what he said? Vince is drunk and upset that Brian is back. Dom and Letty go upstairs to get hot and sweaty, and Mia is a real jerk in the scene. Okay. This is one of those scenes where I have so many questions and issues and observations. First of all, you can tell just how they do the scene about the hyperrealism that they're creating in the movie. So this movie is all, they say the cars are the main characters. That was the original intention of Fast and Furious. And they were really gearing it towards high schoolers or young people. And they wanted all of this drag racing things to look super cool and hot and sexy. So like their idea was, we're going to create the kind of party that every high schooler would want to be at. So it's not even like a real party. It's not even like a real high school party. It's not even a real high school party in the eyes of a high schooler. It's like a party in the eyes of a high schooler if he were to make a fantasy best party ever. You know, you walk in, everyone's drinking, having a good time. Women are making out by the stairwell. Well, all of your friends are there. It's like that's not high school.
No. It's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It was a lot. Also, here's my question that I don't think we ever get an answer to in the movie. But how old are all these characters?
So I got a little explanation on that, because you said that Vince was what, like 24 or something like that?
Okay, so 24. Vince is 24. So the real question though is, how old is Mia? Because there's a lot of evidence in this scene especially that she's a high school student. First being that she's doing homework when they get there. Second being, everyone's drinking a beer, but do you know what Mia was drinking?
I can't remember what she was drinking.
She was drinking a Snapple, which is a really weird choice for a drink. Oh,
yeah.
But like, the point being that if Mia was a high schooler, does that not make Paul Walker's character look so much weirder in this as the undercover police officer?
Yeah, because then that would pretty much, I mean, as long as she's 18, maybe, hopefully, but like, we don't know exactly.
Yeah, maybe let's go. She was 18. She was legal, but not to drink.
She's graduating. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about the irony then of they were like, well, let's go rob these truck drivers, but make sure Mia drinks only things that are legal. So,
right.
And then the last thing of that scene, though, well, a couple things. One, Dom actually makes a quote, a Henry Ford quote there, when he's like, you can have any beer you want as long as it's Corona. It's not actually a Corona product placement. Well, maybe it is, but it was back Henry Ford used to say, like, we make tea models in every color as long as it's black. And so there was actually like a well-placed quote by the movie director people to make it more like about cars, you know? And the last thing is I have so much bitterness towards Mia in this scene when, you know, her and Paul Walker are flirting, then Vince comes in and he's drunk and he's okay. So he is being a jerk. I'll give it to, I mean, but then she's like, oh, where's that place you wanted to take me? And he says, he's like, okay, well, Brian can take me there. I still to this day am a little bitter about that. 20 years later, I'm still not a fan. So.
Aw. We'll get to that.
it'll be fine. Okay, so the next day, Brian arrives at a police safe house where his boss, Sergeant Tanner, briefs Brian. Truckers are getting nervous about the robberies and apparently arming themselves. And the FBI are now involved. This is a joint police and FBI investigation over stolen DVD and VCR players.
Yes.
Yes.
That's very important.
So it's strange, but we just roll with it. When we're watching movies like this, we suspend disbelief a little bit. We kind of move past it. We're like, okay, sure, yeah, obviously. How about that safe house they were staying in, though, Bailey? That was that not the nicest house?
That was insane. I wow. I would love to just like go there forever, permanently.
And even Paul Walker's character, he was like, yeah, whoever you compensated, this was living real great or whatever, you know. But I like how they were like drinking iced cappuccinos, because they were trying to make these cops so different than regular run-of-the-mill. Let's not have them meet in a police station where normal police officers meet, and let's not have them drink boring old black coffee. Let's have them meet in a mansion and drink iced cappuccinos because they're cool cops.
Yeah,
we're edgy. So,
edgy,
yeah,
fancy rich cops.
Yeah. And not entirely effective cops either. They're too busy drinking those iced cappuccinos to do their job.
They probably had a side hustle too, honestly.
Yeah.
They didn't seem like they were really getting down to it either.
No, there was hardly any scenes. I think there was only one scene in this movie where crime was happening and police cars showed up. Usually, like if you'd be like, what were the positive effects from the police officers in the Fast and the Furious? You'd be like, well, they make a really good iced cappuccino. That's basically it. Later that day, Brian brings Dom a wrecked Toyota Supra with a powerful engine and starts working in Dom's garage. Jesse works with Brian on how to soup the car up, and we learn about how really smart he is and how he has ADHD and is an all-around sweet boy. They're building Jesse up so much so that when they kill him off later, we're like, oh, that was sad. I cared about that character. That they essentially have intention. I feel like they have scenes where they're like, we're going to build this character up so you like him, and then we're going to take him away from you real quick.
Well, they made him seem even more innocent is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because he was just like, oh, yeah, the innards of the car, so cool. I'm just like a dude that struggles with things, like comprehension and all that. And you're like, oh, little baby boy. And then, you know, bad stuff happens. And you're like, crap.
Yeah. The next day, Hector buys parts for Honda Civics from Brian, and Brian gets suspicious. He breaks into Hector's garage, but Vince and Dom have followed him. Here's the thing about this scene when they're in the garage and they break in, Brian goes in first to investigate it, and then Dom and Vince show up, and then they see Brian and they pull him in to interrogate him. I was a youth pastor, for anyone who doesn't know, for like 15 years. And anytime I was dealing with students who like got in trouble, and anytime I was like interrogating them, and especially the times where I knew they were lying to me, I would straight up say what Vin Diesel said here. I'd be like, this is one of those times where you have to choose your words really carefully. I didn't realize it until I rewatched this, but I've said that line probably a billion times to a random teenagers. And now I realize I got it from Fast and Furious. So that's fun.
It's ingrained in you.
It is. It is. That's one of my favorite lines in the movies where he's like, Brian, this is one of those times you got to choose your words really. Now, I never came at any of the kids with a wrench, but like, I feel like I had Vin Diesel style intimidation on my side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't sound convinced, that. And that's okay.
No, yeah, I believe it.
Okay. Brian convinces them he's spying on the competition for Race Wars next month. Vince is suspicious, but Dom thinks it's a good idea, and they break into Tran's garage. Brian spots possible stolen goods. Tran and his goons arrive, and Dom and Brian and Vince watch as they torture the local fence. Ted, poor Ted. They torture him over some stolen engines. This is like the only villainous thing we see from Danny Tran. Like, this is like aside from later when he kills a guy, but this is this is when you're supposed to be like, oh, he's a jerk.
Yeah. He just seems like a bully.
Yeah. But not like the villain of the movie. We eventually get way worse villains in Fast and Furious. But
yeah,
this is like a
exactly.
warm-up villain. It's like a level one villain. So
movie one villain.
Yeah, this is definitely a first movie villain. This is a Loki, but not a Thanos kind of villain.
Yeah, so. They couldn't afford a better villain.
Yeah. So also they all might be somewhere between 18 and 24 year olds. They're just a bunch of kids into some things that they shouldn't be.
Exactly.
This is kind of interesting. So we see Brian talk himself out of this situation with Vin and Vince, or I should say Dom and Vince. This is a kind of a hot take opinion I have that anyone else can blast me on. Bailey, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong on this. But we don't have a great representation of Brian O'Connor in this movie. This is the first scene where we see like the fast talking, him getting out of trouble, him like working the situation to his advantage. When we see the next movie, Fast 2, that's where we see like a Brian O'Connor who's like in charge of things. He's winning races. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, doing cool, like, you know, gunshot scenes. And he's just an all around awesome dude. Like the Brian O'Connor that like we love and respect in the movies. In this movie, he doesn't get the girl. He doesn't win a race. He doesn't solve his case. He just, you know, like, I don't know. Like, he
they're
just
going for relatability.
Yeah.
You can't all win a race or get the girl.
But I feel like
and you
if
have
you're
to have
the main
a warm
character
up.
In the movie at least once, maybe you win a race or get a girl.
Right. Right. They probably had a plan to at least release another movie considering there was.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So they're like, we're going to make him seem like a little child right now, because he kind of was like he was in the building blocks of what he wanted to do with his life. So he didn't know what the crap was going on. He was just going with it.
And he was probably close to his early 20s, too, just figuring life out.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, pretty girl, let's get involved.
Pretty possibly underage girl. Let's.
He was honestly, he is the Fast and the Furious with relationships is what it actually is.
Yeah, for sure. Brian tells the FBI but wants to resist moving in on Tran, and they have more evidence. His boss thinks he's too soft in Toretto and that Brian is going native. There's an interesting scene there where the cops ask Brian, like, who are your real family? Because, like, the police force, we're a family too. And that's the first time we ever see family brought up in Fast and Furious. And it goes back to that theme of, like, he finds his family from, like, people, you know, that aren't related or aren't part of his job, but just, like, this unique group. But the cops are like, well, we're family too. You should be being more loyal to us. Which, to be fair, he did go undercover with criminals, and the cops are like, hey, maybe side with the legal system and not these people that are stealing cars. So the next day, Dom takes Brian into confidence and shows his supercharged 1970 Dodge Charger, the one that he never drives. Dom says it's too much power. And this is also when he throws down the quote, I live my life a quarter mile at a time, which is what we named our podcast over. Just the whole living in the moment, not worrying about what's ahead, what's behind, but just when you're in the moment. Here's just the thing, gang, about our podcast. We call it the Quarter Mile Podcast because the point is, like, life is short. There's all kinds of crazy things going on. We're in a snow apocalypse right now in Tennessee. We have our stresses. We have all kinds of uncertainty. But, you know, there's also a lot of good things to kind of help enjoy ourselves, to help have a good time. Me and Bailey are both creative people. Music and comedy and art is a great way. But watching movies is also fun and a good way to enjoy life, too. So kind of our motto is life is short. Watch a movie and enjoy a podcast and live your life a quarter mile at a time. So that's why we named it the Quarter Mile Podcast. So
exactly.
Over dinner, Brian and Mia talk about Dom, and then Mia shows off her driving skills, which is really surprising because neither she nor Michelle Rodriguez had driver's license when they filmed this movie. At the same time, another robbery is in progress, and Brian gets a call from the boss that they are moving in on Tran in the morning. The raid goes off with Brian wearing a hood, but Tran's gang gets out for a lack of evidence. The suspicious goods were purchased legally. Sergeant Tanner cautions Brian about falling for Mia and tells him Dominic is his next suspect. A few things about this scene. One, how stupid is the wrong number excuse that they used? So right. Brian and Mia are in bed. He answers the phone and his first thing is like, yep, yes, I agree. And then he hangs up.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what was that? And he was like, wrong number. And she was like, okay.
It doesn't even make sense.
Nope.
Why would you say yeah to a wrong number?
Right. I don't know. So, and I don't know why they decided to bring Brian into that raid. Hey, let's bring the guy who's been undercover for months. That'll be smart. And here's a fun fact that's just as weird. In the original scene, after the date and before the bed scene, they had it where Brian and Mia went skinny dipping and made love in the pool instead of in the bed. And I, for one, am glad that that scene did not make it to the movie.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Next day, Brian and Dom take the rebuilt Supra for a spin and smoke a Ferrari. Over lunch, Brian asks to get in on Dom's next job, but Dom wants to see how Brian does at Race Wars. And I thought this was a useless, poor, and stupid scene that could have been taken out of the movie and it would have been just fine.
Well, we kind of had to have a little bit of an explanation of Race Wars.
Yeah. Did they give a explanation there, or did they just say, like, be in Race Wars?
Well, not really, but like, he had to get there somehow.
That's true.
So I guess they're like, you know what, we're just gonna hand him a note and be like, give it to this guy, it's your golden ticket to Willy Wonka.
That's true. Kind of connected us from point A to point B. So okay,
yeah,
I rescind my statement of this being a useless poor scene. This is why we're doing this together, Bailey. You're helping me be a better person.
We're right brain and left brain put together. We're a full brain.
Right, absolutely. In the middle of the desert, Race Wars begins. Letty wins, but Jesse loses his car to Tran, refuses to give up his car, and drives away, which is probably not his smartest decision. Tran accuses Dom of being an informer. As a result, the police raid on his because of the police raid on his place the day before, and a fight breaks out. What do we think about the scene with Jesse? Do we think it's believable? But believable they would be doing something so stupid and crazy and weird, or do we think it's like a little out of character?
I think it was I think it was the right move, personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, not really, but kind of, because it was the dad's car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like,
no, he was driving his dad's car. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it was the dad's car. He didn't want that guy to get his dad's car, so he's like, well, crap, I'd rather just, you know, go away. He didn't know what to do. He was freaking out.
Mm-hmm. he shows up, he's
like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, I liked it because it showed how like freaked out and panicky he was. You could see like
he's still a kid
brain kind of.
Yeah.
Like it made a lot of critics will criticize the scene like it was really out of character and just didn't seem logical. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but yeah, that's the character. He's a little bit of an oddball who's a little schizo. So
yeah, but he wasn't portrayed as like the bad guy being aggressive and stuff. He was more a fleeting.
Yeah. Absolutely. That night, Mia is also upset with Dom, who is obviously going on another robbery, revealing that Dom and his gang were, this is the shocker, the real hijackers that Brian was trying to nail all along. I wonder if anyone watched this movie and at any point didn't know that, because I think they were trying to make it like a big reveal, but it, I mean, it really wasn't. Bailey, were you shocked? Were you shocked to figure out? Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
That they were the hijackers?
Yeah.
Ah, I mean, so I think I just got a little bit of confusion going on, I think, is the thing. Because I thought that the, what is it, the
Danny Tran and his group? Or
Yeah. I thought it was them.
I'm thinking it. That was like the, that was what the intention of was the plot was like. That was the misdirect. Like these terrible jerks clearly are the bad guys, quote unquote, or the criminals. I mean, they still were pretty bad, but
right.
But then it turns out it's Dominic and his group. But
exactly.
Okay. So Brian confesses that he's a cop and asks Mia to help him warn Dom about the truckers arming themselves and the FBI operation. Brian calls for a trace of Dom's cell phone in a very unrealistic way. He calls his phone company, gives them his badge number, and then they're like, okay, we can trace that. And also, I learned that Nextel, that phone company back in when this movie came out, they had to release like some kind of statement after the movie to be like, look, that's not actually how it works. We can't have people track your phones, which now with phones nowadays, like what phone isn't being tracked? But just kind of interesting. But it also shows you like what a big deal this first movie was when it came out. Like it was a big enough deal where enough people were watching it where they were like, I don't want my phone to be tracked like it was in Fast and Furious. And I use Nextel. And they had to be like, hey, that's not how police work works. So. But I thought this scene between Brian and Mia, when he kind of tells everything about himself, and then he's got that kind of level of desperation of like, you need to help me with Dom and help me find. I thought this was the best acted scene that Paul Walker had in this movie.
He's like just listen to me. Think? Hey, it was good. Yeah. Cause I mean, they all have a bad idea of cops and stuff. So he had to really just make sure he got his point across that he was not going to call them in. He's like, just listen to me. I'm a cop. That means I can help you. That doesn't mean I'm against you.
And you could see kind of the panic with her when he said he mentioned he was a cop. I mean, not just panic, but I mean, at that point, she probably felt like she had been used.
I mean, because he hid that. That is a pretty big part to hide from yourself.
Like,
or from somebody else.
And their relationship ended up working out, but that would be a tough one to get past. Remember that time when we first met and you were an undercover cop? So.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me.
Yeah, that'd be something. I don't know. I don't know if I could. Could you have been with him after that? I don't know if I could. I think that would. I think we would have had to friend zone.
I don't know. Lying's not a thing for me. I can't do that too much.
At the climax, Dom and his gang don their masks and cars and set out for another hijacking job. The robbery begins to go wrong when Vince jumps on the truck, but is shot by the trucker. These extreme truckers. He's got a shotgun, not afraid to use it. Won't say he's the best shot. I'll be honest, but he is driving. He's keeping his eyes on the road. He's being a good driver. But he also has so much ammo for that shotgun. There's so much shots that happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Letty crashes her car and Leon rescues her. And it's at that point that I remembered that Leon was in the movie. Brian arrives on the scene and risks his life to save Vince as the truckers reload reloads his shotgun. Dom arrives and hears Brian calling for a medical helicopter, identifying himself as a cop. Dom is stunned, but Vince is the first priority. After Vince is stabilized, Dom storms off with Mia following. Okay, so if I were to change any one thing about this is actually the truck scene is my favorite scene in the movie. Like the action scene, the trucker shooting him, Vince hanging on for dear life. I mean, the blood on his arm, it just looks painful. Paul Walker jumping into the car, Letty trying her best. Like this is my favorite scene of the movie. The one thing I would change is when Brian O'Connor reveals that he's a cop. Because Mia's there just chilling and already knows, I feel like it takes away the shock value for Dominic. Mm-hmm. So like what I would have done if I was the movie person, I would have had her doing something else. Like, I don't know what she would have been doing, calling someone, you know, drinking a Snapple, whatever she does, maybe catching up on some homework, you know, like there's a lot of things you could be doing.
Helping as well.
And I would have Vince or Vin Diesel and Paul Walker in that scene by themselves so that you could really focus on his shock. I've always thought about that they could have done that better. I have to say it again. This is where we learned Vince was right all along. Everyone was so mean to this poor guy. Granted, he's a bit of a jerk. Okay, granted, he's a huge jerk. Is. But you know what? He wasn't wrong the entire movie about like Brian's character. It's and true. If they just listened to him, their whole heist might have gone off a lot better. So back at Dom's house, Brian confronts Dom. Jesse returns and Trans shoots him in a drive-by. Rest in peace, Jesse. Mm. The only Fast and Furious character in the family that has died and stayed dead. 10 movies.
Yeah. And he's the only one they've kept dead. That had ADD.
So, yeah.
They so killed the poor ADD guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would love for them to bring him back at some point. I would love to see him in another Fast and Furious movie. What is this actor doing? Like, what's he doing that's more important than being in another Fast and Furious movie? I would say there's nothing more
important. Well, he died in the first one. How would he come back? Is this like Star Wars?
Well, if we take ourselves away from the first one a little bit and look at the overall series, all those characters, like so many characters come back.
Yeah.
Like Hans dies in the third one, but comes back. Wonder Woman's character, Gal Gadot, she dies at some point. Comes back in the 10th.
I forgot she was in those.
Yeah, we'll get to her. She's probably the my preference for best looking character in the show. So
that, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, she would be one of my favorites in that. I don't know. I don't know how they could bring him back. But it would be really interesting if he ended up being like the main villain. Like he just got so he'd been. I don't know. He was, or maybe
he turns bionicle.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a robot. He comes back and. He comes back as a car. He comes back as his dad's car in the final race.
This is like Terminator meets...
meets Fast and Furious.
Meets Fast and Furious.
He's the Furious part. We haven't seen a lot of Furious. That becomes his code name.
Exactly.
I think we just wrote Fast 11. I think so.
That's the ending.
Yeah. So... So Brian gives chase and Dom gets in the charger to pursue as well. They're going after Danny Tran after he killed Jesse. Dom stops in front of one of the motorcycles, sending the goon into a field, and Brian shoots Tran. Brian sees Dom fleeing and pursues in the Supra. They race because why not? And Dom's car begins to destroy itself from the massive torque in the motor. They finish the race, but Dom hits a truck pulling out from a side street. The charger is wrecked and Dom is injured. For the first and last time in the Fast and Furious saga, we see Dom actually injured. We see him in so many more car wrecks later in this show, in this movies, but this is the only time we see him actually being hurt. He's still a human in Fast 1. As the police sirens are heard in the distance, Brian gives Dom his car because he still owes him a 10-second car, and Dom escapes. And thus ends the first movie of the Fast and Furious saga. What do we think, Bailey? What are your general thoughts, reactions, feedback, like things just... Fast and Furious. What do you think about this movie? What are some just opinions? I don't know. Life things.
Well, it's very interesting to me because I noticed that, like, in today's time, I will say, if you watch it, you're like, that's a teeny bit sexist. But also, there's also anti-sexism. So it's like, you got some bad mama jammas, but then you also got some girlies... and some guys against the girly. It gets a little confusing, but it is exactly like you're saying, like with the whole like high school kids, this is what they would want it to be, but it not actually being. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you take some like 14-year-old boy race cars dream, then that's probably Fast and Furious 1.
Right. This is what we thought life was like back in Fort when
Yeah,
I was 14.
it's kind of just like an idea, exactly. So it's a really good movie, though. I mean, like I said, I've grown up on them, so it's honestly like comfort movies to me at this point. But I mean, yeah, the plot line, it's the bad guy's not that impressive, but I will say just because Vin Diesel's in it is the reason why I stuck with Fast and Furious for so long as well.
Absolutely. I mean, and this was his breakout role. Like, I mean, him and Paul Walker both were in some stuff before this, and it was like, I'd say they were pretty famous. Like, you're getting there. But this was the one that put them on the map for
Yeah,
like
exactly.
the general public. I mean, I don't know if Vin Diesel does other movies nowadays other than just Fast and Furious.
Yeah, honestly, because all I knew him for was Fast and Furious and The Pacifier
Yeah,
for the most part.
that's it. I love that movie. Not enough people watch The Pacifier, I feel
It's
like.
such a good movie.
It is. It is.
It kind of gives you a little bit of the similar vibes, honestly.
Yeah, it's like
Like family
if
version.
Dominic Toretto had a side job as a nanny.
Yeah, this is a kids version movie of Fast and Furious.
Yeah. One thing you said that I would love to hear more potentially is you were talking about we saw obvious ways of sexism, and then we
Yeah.
also saw anti-sexism. What would
Yeah.
be some examples of anti-sexism?
Okay, well, so the anti-sexism would probably be where they were at. I believe they were at Race Wars. And I'm so bad with names. The girl with the black hair, that's Vin Diesel's
Oh, Letty.
girl. Letty. Yes. So when she went up against that guy with the race and he was like crap talking her and just being like, I'm gonna win and all this bull crap, and then she just like smacks back at him with such a great, I don't even remember what she said, but she was just playing the game with him and then completely smoked him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that's not like maybe a whole sexism thing or whatever, more so of maybe proving wrong, but he was being pretty sexist about like her being a girl and stuff, being like, honey, you shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Right. And then
Nah,
she showed
girl.
him.
Then she showed him. So I
Absolutely.
was like, yeah, that's how it should go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like the movies do a good job, especially as they go on, like
Yeah.
they do try to like break some stereotypes, especially, I mean, back then, I mean, even the
Yeah.
scene where like Brian was like washing dishes and everyone, I mean, of course, Vince the jerk douchebag was like, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, like he's making fun of him for that,
Yeah.
but no one's looking at Vince and being like, let's think like him, you know. They're
Yeah,
showing
they
like this is a
purposely
better
show
way of
both
doing things, like where
sides.
I'm from, you know, the guys do the
Yeah.
cleaning as well. And then as the movies go on, your cat, and even here in this movie back in 2001, you see a racially diverse cast, which back then would have been a bigger deal. Like not all the main characters are just white men, you know? Yeah. So my reaction to this
Oh.
movie is I absolutely love it. I love that it sets up the series. It was such a big deal for it. I will be honest, when I'm in my own rankings of the movies, I end up usually not putting this one pretty high because what the Fast and Furious turned into was something completely different than this movie. But I still enjoy it. It's all the nostalgia. One of the songs that plays during the first big drag racing scene is Rollin' by Limp Bizkit. Did you ever listen to Limp Bizkit, Bailey?
Yeah,
Yeah?
of course
Awesome.
I did.
Of course. But to be fair, that me like his heyday was when you were a baby, so that's not exactly a weird question for me to ask.
But I am a music and entertainment business major.
That's true. So you know you
If
have good
anything,
taste, is
maybe it was a project.
so, yeah. But
I do have good taste.
I remember Limp Bizkit, because me and my friends in middle school, we would go to our friend David's house. We'd jump on his trampoline like all afternoon, and playing from his boombox with like a big extension cord, so that was down by the trampoline. We would be playing Limp Bizkit. That was our jam. And so every time that
That makes
opening
sense.
scene happens, I'm just living in that memory. So,
Such a
okay, so
early
here's some
2000s and
random
nineties.
fast facts. I didn't write out a ton this time. There's tons more. So if you're someone who's listening to this, watching this, whatever, you know, and you have another fun fact you want to share with us, please drop it below. We, these movies have all kinds of weird information and backstories and facts, and it's always fun to come up. So, during the race wars, the scene with the race wars, they actually used real life drivers and brought their cars in to participate in this huge scene. They put out like a big old ad and they're like, hey, if you have a cool car and want to be part of this scene, come on out. And they ended up getting about 1,500 cars there. But what's cool is like those were real people and they're real souped up cars, which I just think is really cool. Another fact, filmmakers ask owners of the house in the background to repaint their house with more muted colors to show off the colorful cars. That would be a weird message to get. Hey, can you paint your house so that our cars will look cooler in this movie that we're making?
Imagine getting a call from your landlord.
Right. Like, hey, we're going to need you to change this door, change these walls. Can you make it a more muted color? If you had like a bright red door that you were so proud of, and they're like, look, your door looks great.
We're filming a movie.
But yeah. I hope they were paid. Like, I hope someone said, like, we'll pay for your pay.
I hope so. Yeah. Unless I'm going to rewatch some of those scenes
and see if like any of the houses are like boldly colored, like or if any of the neighbors are like, no, I'm not doing that for your stupid movie.
Yeah.
This is rejected. This is my favorite Fast and Furious fact. Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Eminem were all considered for the role of Brian O'Connor before Paul Walker was cast. Can you imagine in a multiverse somewhere? A different universe, Fast and Furious, just as successful, but with Eminem instead of Paul Walker.
The real Slim Shady.
Oh my gosh. He couldn't do this movie because he was filming 8 Mile, which is another good movie. Have you seen 8 Mile?
Honestly, I haven't actually.
I think you would enjoy it. It's a fun movie. It has nothing to do with Fast and Furious.
I would definitely enjoy it.
But it's a good
one. Yeah. I love Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would love to see. And so working titles for this movie, it was supposed to, at first it was called Racer X, which was named after like an article that they wrote about that was trying to bring light to the underground drag racing industry, I guess. And that's what inspired this whole movie. The directors read that article and were like, let's make a movie about it. But then they didn't go with Racer X. And then the next idea was Redline. And they didn't go with that either. And then the last idea before they landed on Fast and Furious was Race Wars, which...
Oh, my gosh.
I like to think there's a multiverse somewhere, the different universe, where Eminem plays Paul Walker's character, Brian O'Connor, in Race Wars. That sounds like such a terrible movie.
Be called? What would the other ones be called? Like Race Wars and the Raciest, or
too racist, too
racier.
Yeah,
too racist, too race.
The rate of the race wars. I don't know.
Race.
That would be so weird. Probably a good decision that they didn't. But you know, there was someone who was really sold on Race Wars, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, fine, we'll call the race in the movie Race Wars." And he's like, good. My friends at my meeting tonight will be real happy. Okay. Our Too Fast, Too Furious rating system. All right, Bailey, here's how it works. We're each going to rate the movie. We can say too fast. That means it's really good. Fast means it's good. Furious means it's bad. And then too furious would be like really bad. So,
okay.
So I'll go first. I'm going to put this movie... Only because it started off everything. I'm going to say it's a fast category. So it's kind of the good category. I will be honest, when I do marathon these movies, every time a new one comes out, there's a little part of me that's like, okay, here we go, watching the first one again. So that's why it's kind of not one of my favorite ones. To be fair, I have seen it at least 10 times. So I don't know if this movie was meant to be watched 10 times, but... But I have to give credit to the fact that it started off everything. And if you look at the cultural phenomenon that this movie had, the impact it had in 2001. So,
yeah.
So what do you think?
I think my rating would be the same, actually. it would probably be fast, only good. Because, like, there's always room for improvement, obviously. But it's also not my favorite of the series. But also, like, there's some things in it that I'm not quite, like, really into. But also, it is good of a buildup of everything that's to come into the series, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of really sets the stage.
It's a solid starter.
Yeah, it's a good starting movie.
Yeah.
And one of the
It's a good
things we will
starting
be
movie.
one of the things we will be doing is as we do episodes for each movie, we'll be kind of putting them in a order of our least favorite to least favorite. Right now, that's really easy. We've only rated one movie, so it's the best movie we've talked about so far. So,
Number one, baby.
yeah, number one. But we will give everyone the options too on our social medias and stuff like that to rate each movie. So you can tell us your own Too Fast, Too Furious rating. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to kind of keep track and keep the numbers of that. And maybe at the last episode, we'll be able to share kind of what in general our whole populace thinks. Okay, so Bailey,
Yeah.
this is our next scene. It's called Bailey's Best Bits. So ideally, you have three scenes, three of your favorite scenes, or just three scenes in the movie. You're going to tell me
Yeah.
what they are, and then I'm going to pick what I think is your favorite scene. If I guess correctly, I get a point, and if I don't guess correctly, you get a point. The person at the end of the 10 episodes with the most points wins. I don't really know what we win yet, but we win something, if not pride. So, you got your three scenes?
Yeah, I think I do. So, okay, you've got the scene where Brian and Mia are in the kitchen. And Vince comes in, and that's when they get a little mean to him. And she's like, "So where do you want to take me, to go out to eat?" And tells her, and then she's like, "Okay, well, you're gonna take me there, actually." So there's that one.
That scene, okay.
That, yeah. And then there's the scene where they're actually at the very beginning of the entire movie, where he does go and order the tuna sandwich, but it's not when he orders the tuna sandwich, it's the aftermath where they're in the fight scene.
Big fight, yeah.
Big fight. Then there's the other one that is at the past where they go over the train tracks with the cars in that split second.
Okay, yeah. All right, so I'm gonna review. I'm gonna make sure I got the scenes. First, scene one is the kitchen scene. Scene two is the fight at the tuna store, and scene three
Yeah.
is
I know I
the
have them backwards.
okay. So scene one was the tuna store. Scene two was the kitchen scene,
Yeah.
and then scene three
Yeah.
was the cars going, that cool camera chase scene.
Okay, wait, no. Let me change that one, actually,
Oh,
because that's
changing
not a good
scenes.
enough
Okay, so
scene.
that's not the winner.
I'm sorry. No. Okay, so it's actually where Paul Walker, Brian, is standing on the car while Mia is driving and trying to save Vince
Okay.
and going fast.
Okay. Oh, man. I don't think it's that scene because you changed it. But I was gonna guess the first scene that you said it was, and I'm so glad I didn't because that would have been the wrong one. Man, I think I'm good. Earlier in this episode, you mentioned you said like, oh, we'll talk about that more when we're talking about the kitchen. But at the time, is I thought like, oh, she clearly didn't like that. But between the two scenes, I think that random fight at the end, like that's a cringeworthy scene for me. Like, I mean, Vince drops the F word. It's a quick moment. Like, so I'm gonna go with the kitchen scene. Is it the kitchen scene? Is that your favorite scene?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So that's 1 point for me, 0 for Bailey.
Yeah.
Cool.
I
I'm gonna
mean,
go for 10 and 0. We'll see if we get there.
it's
So.
mainly just because Mia just, that's something that I would do. It's something that I have done almost, kind of. Because, like, I've been told by people before in past relationships to not do something or whatever, and then immediately do it just out of spite.
Oh, of
So,
course, you
like, for
have to.
her to do something like that, I'm just like, man, she's trying to be sneaky and snarky towards him, you know? Like, she doesn't give a crap. She likes this guy. She's trying to make a statement.
I love that we have such a different opinion on that scene.
I
Like,
thought it was
every time I see
hilarious.
that scene, I get so angry at Mia to the point where I think, like, her actions there kind of have flavored how I see her in all the movies. But I can see from your perspective, you're like, no, good for her. Good
It's
move.
like a guy and girl perspective thing, honestly. It's just like, okay, because both are kind of being buttholes to each other, not gonna lie.
And I think it's we can just see ourselves in the different characters. Like
You could see
I could see
yourself in the
myself in Vince's
situation.
situation where some woman has like played that game with me.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Because I wouldn't like for somebody to do that to me. No,
yeah.
absolutely not.
So, I get that. Well, cool. That's cool. That's fun and insightful. And so as we're kind of closing out our episode, the way we kind of end out is with shout outs and promotions. Me and Bailey both will have an opportunity to kind of promote whatever we want to promote. It could be about ourselves, it could be about anything in general. So I'll give you an example, Bailey, of how it's done, because I've thought about what I wanted to promote for our first episode. First, most importantly, our social media is The Quarter Mile Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the things. Mainly those, though. Those probably will be our main things. This podcast will be out on all the different things people podcast with. So if you don't mind, please like it, comment on it, thumbs up, share it with your friends. We just want everyone on earth to hear our awesome podcast, and we do appreciate you guys being here. So my first plug is for the Quarter Mile Podcast. Second plug is for me and my stand-up comedy, at Drew Davis Comedy, especially next 2 weekends, I will be in Memphis, performing different places there. The first show will be at a breakfast place called Eggs Up Grill, I think. And then the second place, the weekend after that, is I don't actually some restaurant called like the Way of the Samurai or something. I don't know. But I have all the
Oh,
information on
cool.
my socials. Everyone should come out, especially for the Memphis area. Last two things I want to plug. Green Day just had an album come out today. This is January 20 when we're filming, but it will be about for 4 days since when you hear it, hear this podcast. Everyone should check it out. It's pretty good. And last but not least, in fact, arguably the most, this weekend, I was at a Wendy's and their bacon. Are their pretzel Baconators out now? And I don't know if anyone likes Wendy's or likes bacon cheeseburgers, but I strongly recommend the pretzel Baconator. And if Wendy's and Green Day's want to sponsor our podcast for shouting them out, we would love you guys
Yeah.
for it. So Bailey, do
I
you have
don't know
any
about
plugs for us?
Oh. I don't really guess so. I mean, I guess I'm just plugging myself. I am my musician name is Bay, so it's BAY, and that's on anything. But it's kind of hard to find me in most places, so we might embed a link or something to my stuff, if
Yeah,
anything, but
we'll put a link to all the things.
yeah, I mean that's really it. There's not really too much going on in my life, except a lot going on in my life, but most things are just in the works instead of a finished thing at the moment, so
Yeah, well, we'll as things will come up, we'll for sure plug them and stuff like that. But
yeah.
listen, everyone listening, thank you so much for checking out our podcast. This is our
Yeah.
first episode. We'll be putting out our second one. At the end of February, I think we're going to go for the fourth Wednesday every month. We'll be posting a new episode. We'll be recording before then. So please connect with us on all the social medias, do the rewatch with us, comment on the polls, let us know what you think. And most importantly, we really value all and thank you all for listening. So that's our quarter mile
Yeah.
podcast. I don't have a cool sign out thing yet. So I don't know. Have a great day.